Can you hear me? Now, when I was little, well, younger, my mum was in the local Welsh society, because she was Welsh, and she always wanted me to be joining the local choir, which I thought of every reason why I didn't want to do that. But she also must have thought I had powerful lungs. Oh, can you hear me? So, there we are. That's cleared that. But I don't. And why am I coming to this? Well, it's just a practical note for us. I find little ones have very powerful lungs. What about you? So what I would say is, if your little one gets very powerful with their lungs, just take them out for 5 minutes and then bring them back in, because it gets a bit sorting on the tapes for people when they're hearing Junior and not me. And he might have valid things to say, which probably make more sense than anything I'm going to say this morning. So, but it's just a practical note. So this morning, I'm speaking on, God says, I can change situations. Whenever we prepare, the first challenge has to be to oneself. And I've been challenged in what I've been preparing. And some of it will come to make sense in a while, but I've had to apply what I'm saying to you. Because if not, I just become a glorified modern-day Pharisee. It's all words and nothing else. And so that's what I don't want it to be this morning. I pray it won't be. God says I can change situations. Now, I'm not taking this from a personal me or you point of view. I want to take this title from the contents of the Great Commission. God says, I can change situations. It's the commission that Jesus gave us, command he gave us in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We all know the verses well. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Trevor shared a couple of weeks ago saying, God says I can change. Lisa eloquently last week shared, God says I can change others. Now this week, I'm talking about God says I can change situations. Now all of these are linked. They're not separate. They are all linked because these steps advance God's kingdom. Because if God changes me, God enables me to change others, which means we change the situations that we are all in. We change the environment. We change the atmosphere around the life that we live in, wherever we may be. We're talking about a whole life perspective in our Christian walk. And the Great Commission isn't something we go and do over there and then we live the rest of life over here. The Great Commission is who, that's you and me, we are called to be, each one of us. It's a whole life perspective. I've been guilty of this. This is why the challenge comes to me first. But as Christians, we can sometimes departmentalise our life. What do I mean by that? We say church is here, work's here, family's here, leisure time's here. And this can lead us to think that the only significant activity in the church is when we're gathered together. But we, that's you and me, we are the church. It's not the building. It's not just when we come together. We are the church. Every part of our life has significance. And the life we lead should be recognized and valued as having godly purpose, whatever that is. Now, I've got some helpers this morning. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So would they all like to come up? And what they're going to do is they're going to carry on from where I stop and carry on the preach. No, they're not really. I'd like them all to stand in a line at the front, please. Just, yes, that's it, thank you. Okay, I'm going to ask them a simple question, which will be, TTT, this time tomorrow. They might be playing golf. They might be doing things, but all I'm going to ask them is what they're going to be doing this time tomorrow, and hopefully they're not going to get squeals, and they're going to briefly just say the surroundings and what they're going to be doing, okay? So, Wendy.
Okay. I'll be a new Tuxeter, and I'll be working in an office as a local support team support. And what I'll be doing tomorrow, I had a quick look at my diary, I'll be preparing a course for families, because I work with children, young people, and parents, and this course is around teenagers and parents coming together, and it's called Strengthening Families.
So. Thank you, Paulina.
I'll be in Stafford in school. It'll be DT end. I don't know exactly what we'll be doing because we're starting a new topic.
So. That's great. Thank you, Sarah.
I'll be in Stoke-on-Trent at university in my first lecture of the morning, which is early modern writing.
Mm. Wendy?
Well, normally I would be in bed because I normally work nights, but I should be sat at home twiddling my thumb.
Okay. Oh,
thank you,
Rachel.
I should be in Rugeley Leisure Centre having just finished a Pilates class.
And I'll be in my office in Lichfield, in the finance department, my office, and following through various work appointments I've had in the last 2 or 3 weeks and preparing for others that I've got later on this coming week.
Okay, thank you. If you just stay all there for a minute. So, besides being part of the family at Rugeley Community Church, and besides all of them accepted Jesus as their saviour, what do they all have in common? I think it's quite an easy question to ask and answer because they've all got long hair. Okay. Yeah. They're all the same age. No. Okay. They'll all be at work. No. Okay. So what do they all have in common? Well, what they all have in common is tomorrow at the same time, they will all be on the front line of God's kingdom. Whether that's at work, school, college, home, leisure centre, wherever, they will all be on the front line of God's kingdom. Thank you very much. So, my question now to you is, where will you be this time tomorrow? What was that? Oh, that's right. Yes, Lisa. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. I've got the money here. Yeah. Now, I'm only skimming the surface of true life. Thank you, Lisa. But the this time tomorrow question significance lies on a couple of levels. The first is this. It emphasizes that all of our life matters to God. Does it not? And it encourages us to recognise the significance of what we might regard as our ordinary life. Whether that's twiddling one thumb, or whether you've just come out the gym, or what was it you were doing? Pilates, yeah. I thought that's something you eat, but there you go. That's because I don't go, but there we are. But it's taking the Great Commission seriously. And we surely have to take it seriously. And if we do, then the fact is, our ordinary lives, what we might perceive as our ordinary lives, are an area where God can work. So that leads us and links us so significantly into the Titanic. Yes. No. Of the 2,000 passengers on the Titanic, 1,517 were lost. The time that the Titanic went down, another California was only 30 miles away. The Titanic's operator frantically sent out SOS messages repeatedly. But the guy on the other ship wasn't at his station. He was in bed. That ship was unable to help and just sailed on by. Now, what's relevance has that got to do? In our everyday life, which we believe God has made significant because of his purposes of it, are there those people that need our help? Are there people in our ordinary day situations, people who need help? Because you and me have been appointed by Christ to go out and reach them. And it raises two questions. If not now, when? And if not who? You, who? Or are we going to go sailing by in our lives and miss out on those that need help? And that's happened to me, even in these last few days. Dave and Jenny's and ours neighbour suddenly dropped dead 2 weeks ago. He was only 63, and he lived dead next to his wife. And she came last week, Dave came round with her, and she said, would I take his funeral? And don't get me wrong, it had been easy to sail on by. Life at the moment is very busy, and I've got a lot on, and there's lots of things. But I could have easily have sailed by. And God's been speaking to me about his presence, as we'll come to, being with us wherever we are. And I felt God say, in whatever small way, because I don't know whether he was a Christian or not, but in whatever small way, in us being there, we bring the presence of God to that situation. She came to me, she needed help. And in whatever small way I can, I believe that God's presence goes with us. But you know, if we go on sailing by, if we miss out on reaching out to those there, it can tend to wash over us. And also in what we hear and what we read, you know, there's a lot that we read today that says the influence of the church is diminishing. It's not what it was. You read it, you hear it on programs. And remember, when they say that, they're talking about you and me. They're not talking about a building being empty. They're talking about you and me. And that can rub off on us. And what it can rub off us in a way is, a lot of people have in mind that a church is like a hospital ship. It's where all the sick people go. It's where all the weak people go. It's where all those that are struggling go. That's the whole world. But that's what they perceive. And what that does in turn is it breeds a subconscious of thinking, oh, when Jesus returns, it's not to claim his glorious bride and the victory is won. Actually, it's to come and rescue his church. Because, boy, is it in need. And actually, what that does then, that makes us think that we're on the defense. We've got to take the posture of we're on the defense. We're in occupation to protect what we have. So hence, when we come to Monday, instead of feeling like we're frontline troops, we have a tendency to feel more like the home guard. You know, we worry what the day holds. We're being on the defensive. We're trying to defend our Christian values. Everything's coming at us. And we approach the day thinking, oh God, help me get through this day so that I can survive. We try to avoid the times of don't panic. But they all seem to come at us. But that's a wrong perception of us. Christ's church. Christ is coming back for his glorious bride. The truth is, we are a military outpost with an infirmary. It contains a lot of wounded people, that is true, who need to be healed. God says, I can change. That's your healing. So that they can return to society to become the salt and light that they are called to be. God says I can change others and says that I can change situations. The three are all linked. You can't have one without the other two. So what is it about us that God says that we can change situations? To change the atmosphere, to change the environment that we all live in our daily lives. What is the significance of who we are in what we might regard as our ordinary places? Now, we all know, I hope, that it's not something that we can do in our own strength. But the first thing that God says about us, in that who we are can change situations, it's who we are in Christ. Believing who God says we are in Christ will lead to situations changing in us as we live in being and becoming Christ-like. So here are just a few of God's truths. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm just going to pick out the truth from that verse. They're all on the handout sheet, so you don't need to memorize the verses. So firstly, you're God's child. You're forgiven. You're a new creation. You're a holy temple. You're a saint. You're called of God. And if you want to say amen at any time, you feel free to do that, okay? If you feel it might stir you a bit, then, you know, you lose the Britishness, okay? You're an ambassador. You are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works. You have all your needs met by God according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You have access to the Father. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. You are salt and you are light. And so we could go on. I've got a list at home that lists 67 verses that tell me who I am in Christ. So I just want to pick up on a couple of them now. Salt and light, because salt and light changes situations. As children of God, we are both salt and light, are we not? Yeah. And we will continue to be as long as we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and don't hide our personal testimonies. Salt has two primary purposes. It preserves. So in preserving, we are called to preserve God's truth. Wherever and whenever necessary, whatever the situation, we must be and choose to be salt that helps preserve biblical standards. Yet we must also learn to speak that truth in the love of Jesus. No good preaching at people. You've got to love people with the truth and what the word says. Secondly, salt flavors, does it not? You can't beat salt on chips, can you? It just brings out that flavour, as we found out last night. But it flavours the situations in our life. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we bring peace in the midst of confusion, hope in the presence of despair, order where there is chaos, and light where there is darkness. Do you believe that? That's what we bring. Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. We work for Jesus, so we should bring that light to a darkening world. Every situation, a whole life perspective, should be viewed as being involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Doing everything to the best of our ability. Influencing the changing in our world positively through the power of the Holy Spirit. So who we are in Christ changes the situations that we come into contact with. Secondly, his presence is with us. I looked up the word presence and it says immediate vicinity, proximity, very close. So I guess from that there's no distance. Would you agree? So when the psalmist says this, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I deduce from that that the psalmist is saying there's nowhere that God is not with us with his presence. Was that fair? Deduction, good. Yeah, and I've done it. This is my challenge to me again. As you may probably have. We can quite often say, dear God, please be with me as I go into this situation. Dear God, please be with me as I go for this job interview. Please, please, please be with me through this difficult day. Please help me eat the peas if I don't even like them, Lord. And you know, when you first hear that, that sounds very holy. It sounds very holy. Unfortunately, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever when you start looking at Scripture. And here's some verses to confirm that. And behold, I am with you always. Always. To the end of the age. Even on a Monday. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now what's God saying to me there? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now that doesn't sound like that's a God that's far off, does it? No, thank you, Eric. We don't need to ask God to be with us if we're part of his family. Rather, what we should be praying is that we are aware of his presence. Now, that is a difference. We need to pray that we are aware of his presence, that we will be confident because of his presence. A presence that goes everywhere. So where's the most naturalist place to go to now from that statement? To the planets. Yes. Not the Titanic, we're off to the planets now. Because I was thinking about this, I was thinking about God's presence. And it got me thinking of the awesomeness of God. And there's a fantastic DVD by Leo Gigolo called Indescribable. And you know, we will show that here one Sunday, because all we'll do is we'll let him talk for 45 minutes and then we're going to worship. Because if you don't want to worship after what he says, then... Well, you will worship. You need to worship. What is it about? Well, he takes you on a journey through the universe, through God's universe, discovering God's greatness and grace. And here's just one of the points he makes. And it's from Genesis 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he says, oh, people say to him how they would have loved to have been there when God did that. And he says, no, you wouldn't, because God spoke light into existence. Light travels at 186,000 miles an hour. Okay, I'm not sure if I want to be there when God's spouting out something at 186,000 miles an hour. A second. Thank you. I'm glad you're awake. A second. Yeah. So a beam of light circles the earth seven times a second. Now, this is quite hard to get your head around, isn't it? But I don't want you to get your head around it. I want you to understand it in your heart. So to measure the known universe, scientists use a ruler. That's figuratively speaking, because it isn't a real ruler. This is a ruler. That's one light year long. So if light travels at 186,000 miles per second... A light year is 5.88 trillion miles. Think how many shell points you could get with that. And that's to measure the known universe. They admit there's places they don't even have even gone to. Our own subdivision, the Milky Way, is 1,000 light years across and has billions of stars in it. And then you read this in Isaiah 44. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. This is the God whose presence goes with you every single second of the day. Just think about that. In that small statistics I've given you, this is the God who goes with us. So, Father, I want to pray, Holy Spirit, you help us in our hearts, not our head, to grasp something of the truth of the awesomeness of who you are. But also know that in that awesomeness, that same awesomeness goes with us through your presence every single moment of the day. Help us to grasp that in some way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. So in that, surely, shouldn't that make a difference to the thinking in our lives? His presence makes the impossible possible. You know, God doesn't have to try to be supernatural. He doesn't have to go into a phone box and put the supernatural kit on. He is supernatural. If we are aware of his presence and invite him into situations in our whole life living, then we should believe that he will do supernatural things in our lives, using who we are in Christ to change situations, to change the environment and the atmosphere that we live in. So God says we can change situations because of who we are in Christ, because we have his presence with us, and then finally, because within us we have his Holy Spirit. If we're walking in the flesh in the whole of our life, then we will struggle to change situations. And I would almost suggest, actually, the world situations would probably start to change us. So how are we supposed to live then? It's not difficult. I'm probably sure you all know. By the Spirit, Paul says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. God gives his Holy Spirit to every living, believing Christian. Is that not so? And we must keep in step with his Holy Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, says Paul. And here are a few things that the Holy Spirit does that enables you to say, I can change situations. That's you and me. You don't need to write these down. These are on the handout. The Spirit guides us in all truth. The Spirit glorifies and testifies of Christ. The Spirit reveals Christ to us and in us. The Spirit empowers us. The Spirit bears witness in us that we are children of God. The Spirit anoints us in ministry, for ministry. The Spirit enables us to obey the truth. The Spirit moves us. The Spirit produces in us fruit or evidence of his work and presence. Amen. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And notice the word fruit is singular. It doesn't say fruits, it says fruit. Paul doesn't say that when he talks in regards to spiritual gifts. As he says, some people have one or more gifts. Some people have certain gifts, others will have others. But not everyone has all the gifts. That's different with the fruits. There are nine characteristics. Oh, I'm going to show you them. There are nine characteristics of the fruit, and they all work together. So you can't say, I'm not very patient, but I do try to be kind. No, you have, and we should have, and display all the fruits. They all grow together because they all define us as who we are as Christians. They produce Christian character and they produce Christian attitude. So whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're at college, home, in our street, with our neighbours, in Morrison's, and God, do I need patience in Morrison's? Or whether we're in church. In every situation of life, we should be displaying the fruits of the Spirit. Because we must become more like Jesus. And if we are proclaiming that we would look more like Jesus in the situations that we find ourselves, wherever we are in life. The Spirit enables us to live lives with respect, obedience, and kindness. And people are watching you. They watch Christians. They watch how you react and how you live. And as we live guided by His Holy Spirit, God will show the reality of His presence to others through you and through me. And we're going to finish with a quote. And it says this: a Christian is a living sermon, whether or not they preach a word. And that's quite telling. It isn't so much about what we say, it's who we are and how we act and how we respond and what we do. So God does say that you can change situations because of who you are, because of who we have with us, His presence, a presence that created the universe that man hasn't half discovered yet, and because of who we have in us, His Holy Spirit. That's how we become ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's how we bring hope, helping other people everywhere through the power and presence of His Holy Spirit.